Right, so this is session 8. It's praise and worship in the belong session. This session will present the biblical ideas for worship. Worship is outward expression of an internal connection with God. This is what we'll discuss: the purpose, the tools, and the expressions. The purpose is everything God does has a purpose. Worship was prescribed not for God's sake, but for ours. Worship opens our hearts and minds to perceive God as He truly is. It establishes communication between the visible and the invisible, the temporal and the eternal. It creates a place where the divine Creator connects to His mortal creation. When we connect with God through worship, miracles will take place in our hearts, affecting our lives with changes for our good. So, lessons for Job. Satan's motive was to crush Job's worship. So Job 1.
In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the east. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters and eat and drink with them. When a period of fasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom.
As heaven's outcasted worship leader, Satan attacked Job because Job worshiped God. He challenged Job's worship of God. He accused him of being shallow, materialistic, and superficial. He said that Job only worshiped God because his following God's ways caused him to be such a blessed man. God allowed Job to be proved. His worship was not shallow, and when he passed the testing, Satan had to restore and multiply everything he had touched. Job's worship set his children apart. While it is clear that Job did not have confidence in the faith of his adult children, his worship also proved to set them apart to some degree. Though their earthly lives were forfeited, we can note that God commanded everything Job had to be multiplied, but he only had the same number of children. It indicates that they were not eternally lost, not implying that you can do anything to procure salvation for anyone else, but that they are merely set apart, just as a believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving one. Praise defeats and confuses the enemy.
Psalms 8:2, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger."
Jesus quoted this passage also when the religious leaders were jealous of the worship being raised by children because of him.
Matthew 21:16, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" They asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise'?"
God is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, all-present. Satan is a created being and is limited. He only knows what he happens to hear from you. He cannot hear your thoughts or silent prayer. So if Satan attacks you and he hears anything about what he did to you, it should be praise to God. The last thing he wants you to do is praise God. If he makes an effort to defeat your praise, but you praise God more, not less, stronger instead of weaker, then he's not likely to mess with you. Send the devil running. Praise God in adversity. The devil will cross the street to avoid you.
Psalms 118:15. "The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does verily."
It's an automatic thing for a person who is fully connected to the Holy Spirit to respond to him, just as natural as a conversation with a best friend. The righteous are connected in prayer, worship, praise, faithful obedience. If you are connected, you will respond. It's like being connected to live electricity and expecting to be perfectly still. It isn't going to happen. So the tools for praise and worship. Number one is music.
Psalms 32:2, praise the Lord with the harp, make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre.
Raising your hands.
Rise during the night and cry out, pour out your hearts like water to the Lord, lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. Psalms 28:2, hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. In 1 Timothy 2:8, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy.
Shouts, singing, dancing, and clapping.
Psalms 149:3, let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. Psalms 47:1, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy.
So then there's words. Thanks, adorations, Bible verse meditations, reports of victories, declarations of faith. Say it out loud. It is empowering. Remember, the devil cannot hear your thoughts or silent prayer. So say it loud and confidently so he can hear you and flee. So then there's reverence. Reverence is sacred honor. Reverencing the sanctuary of God is a response to the presence of God. Treat the church grounds, especially the sanctuary, as sacred. Sometimes these actions precede experiencing his presence. Showing honor for the things that are dedicated to God allows a person to easily experience his presence.
Observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord.
So show respect to the people who come to give honor to God. Seeker-friendly efforts make attempt to make people comfortable in church that can go too far and quickly turn into dishonor and irreverence. After all, isn't making self comfortable the primary occupation of every sinner? Of course, dead religion isn't the answer either. So you got to create an atmosphere where entertaining the Holy Spirit is the purpose, not people. Reverence for my sanctuary happens when it is remembered who the my is in the statement. It's your church, but it exists for him, built for worship, so come to worship. We need to keep God first, not come to socialize, but seek and worship God, then fellowship. So worship makes the whole church stronger.
1 Corinthians 14:26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church.
The church is you and others like you. It is not the building, but the people who come to this common place to know him and to be known by him more and more. It is a place where the miracle of God reaching from invisibility becomes clearly visible. What a miraculous thing. I found myself crying out from the deep within my spirit for the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. I raised my voice, drawing together all my strength from within, and cried, Father, I want to know and walk in the fear of the Lord. I have always seen the love of God as the foundation for relationship with the Lord. I quickly discovered that the fear of the Lord was just as foundational. That's John Bevere.
Isaiah 33:5-6. The Lord is exalted for his dwellings on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure.
So wind from heaven. Do you think the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to come into a place where he is not given due honor and reverence? Do you think the Master of all creation is going to speak when his word is not respected, even to be listened to attentively? You're deceived if you do.
By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. That's Leviticus 10:3.
So, void of God's presence, what does that look like? People stand with eyes open and looking at something or someone in the building. Then there's many appear bored, their hands thrust into their pockets or hung heavy at their sides. Also, body postures and countenances give the appearance of a casual crowd waiting patiently for a show to begin. Also, some talk to one another Others roam the aisles, wandering in and out of the auditorium. This creates a spiritual atmosphere of heaviness, void of God's presence. His presence is clearly not there. The Lord never comes where he is not reverenced. The Spirit of God will arrest the people's attention by his word. The word of God will pound through the hardened shells of their hearts. With repentance comes the presence of the Lord, occupied by sobs and cries from the crowd, cleansing and refreshing, intensified prayer. Aftermath equals silence, reverence, fear. Sometimes spiritual manifestations, angels and fire falling. There's restored respect for the presence of the Lord, and there's anointed worship.
In fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple.
So all true worship is anchored in a reverence for the presence. God says,
"You shall reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." And this one, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah 6:3.
We have sung these exact words in our churches in hymn form. Yet often our praises ring void of the passion found in the angels. You can see people yawning and glancing about as they sing the words. Oh, how different is the atmosphere in God's throne room. These mighty angels are not bored or restless. They are not merely singing nice songs. They do not say, "God, I have been singing this song before your throne for millions of years. Do you think a replacement could be brought in? I would like to go explore the other parts of heaven." No way. They would not desire to be anywhere else but crying out and singing praises before the throne of God. These spectacular angels are not merely singing a song. They are responding to what they see. Every moment, through veiled eyes, they glimpse another facet of a greater dimension of God's glory being revealed. Overwhelmed, they shout, "Holy, holy, holy." In fact, their combined cry is so loud that the posts of the door are shaken by their voices and the entire room is filled with smoke. Wow. It's one thing for sound waves to shake a